Do you have your beard colored in again? I mean, oh, well, there he is, the pearly whites. Wes was just telling me, when you see the pearly whites, and I just can't help but laugh because we don't always have the nice Grecian for men or just for men or whatever
Just for
goatee.
men,
So,
Grecian for men, whatever you want to call it.
it's like I'm almost blinded now by the teeth. Some days they disappear in the grayish facial hair. So.
Well, I do that. In addition to, putting the black in, I also have my, fake veneers popped in from China, so it's all good.
That's okay. I went to the barber shop the other day. I'm going again Friday before some shows coming up, and I always give the girl a bit of crap because I say, "What is all this white on this black smock?" I says, "You need a gray or white smock when you do me. I don't like this at all." That it is what it is. I guess I'm just happy still in my hair mostly,
You're
but.
going to have to tell me the barbershop that you go to, and I'll tell them the next time you're in to give you the Wes Wyatt,
That would be cheaper, that's for sure.
Comes with a free can of turtle wax.
Oh, you gotta love it. Well, buddy, it's good to be back doing what we love and loving what we do, is it not?
Is. We're doing a rack and stack, and our first guest today has a dynamite set of hair.
He's got a great set of hair, and
He does.
he's just a great guy, and he's become a very quickly a kindred spirit of mine, and a great friend, and and the power of networking, right? We talk about it all the time, but he was a guy that Hugh Hornsby is a guy that we've never met in person yet. We will somewhere sometime, but I'll tell you what, it's every time I get on with him, it's like an old lost friend already, right? And that's one of the beauties of connecting with like-minded people. So, rather than chatting, you and I, which we could, should we go get Hugh, or what do you want to do?
I think he's going to be a lot better than this mug.
Well,
So,
I know
yeah.
that's I've got used to that mug, so I don't mind it, but
Good
all right, let's do
deal.
it.
Let's bring him on.
All right, buddy.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer director, Wes Wyatt. Whether we're
We're
talking
talking
about
about
sales,
sales,
marketing,
marketing,
tech,
tech,
or
or
industry
industry
news,
news,
we
we
want
want
to
to
bring
bring
you
you
the
the
best
best
tips,
tips,
tricks,
tricks,
and
and
info
info
to
to
build
build
wins.
wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
There he is, the legend himself. How you doing, Hugh?
Oh, well, that's people are starting to call me legend, but you start to put some age on you, and they start to act like you've been around a few years. Yeah, I am doing absolutely great. I am just so thrilled to be here, and I would agree that I've kind of been watching you, and you, I think, have been watching me. And when you have like-minded people that are trying to change the world and do the right thing and get people to think differently, it's a pretty neat thing. So thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and you're so right. I mean, I knew, as I'd mentioned, and you just alluded to, Hugh, that every once in a while you come across those people that you just know instantly we kind of align in our thoughts and how we go about things. And so it's just a pleasure, and thank you for being on. And as way of introducing you, let's do this. What do you think? The Wholesaler Magazine Person of the Year. Look at that. Is that, look at that. Even signed for me by Hugh himself. Is that good stuff or what? So that's a pretty big deal, buddy. So tell us about Hugh. Who is Hugh? What's Hugh do? Give us your background before we wander off wherever we happen to find ourselves.
Well, it's funny because we all I'm a big conscious and unconscious mind, and how we've been brought up along the way, and then how we deal with all that. And my story really started. It started at the age of 8. But really, at the age of 10 is when I fell, hit my head, and I was diagnosed with epilepsy. And on, I just remember it like it was yesterday. I remember leaving the hospital after I'd been there for 4 or 5 days and looking at my mother, and she had a tear in her eye. And I looked at him, I said, "Mom, it's going to be okay." And she's like, and then she looks at me and says, "Huey, it's going to be okay. But the people I'm most worried about is not you, it's everybody else, because they're not going to understand your disorder." And she shared with me that day, never let anybody hold you back, especially yourself. And it's funny that at the age of 10, when really I was just trying to figure out how to go play again, how that stuck. And at that time, I started looking at myself, and I believed in what she said, but I believed it for other people too. So I started mentoring and coaching in a very different way at the age of 10 to get people to start thinking differently. And so, and shortly after that, she was determined to let me play and not be treated differently. But one of the things she did, Randy, is just amazing. She would give these underdog books and she would just place them on my bed. And I would read those and I'd read those. And it was, to me, it was everything I did was about an underdog. And what I didn't know at the time, she was working on my subconscious mind.
Right.
And she got me to start to believe that whatever it was that I wanted was available. But then at age nine, I was, or in the ninth grade, my math teacher tried to put me into special needs or special class. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing how, when she did that, I remember going home and saying, "Hey, Mom, this is what, you know, this is what my math teacher thinks." And she says, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "I want you to go upstairs and write down what it is that you're dreaming about and what it is that you're going to do about it." And I came back downstairs and I'd written it down. And she said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to special needs. And I've decided that I'm just not going to listen to what she has to say. And I'm going to go out and do what I think is there." But I said, "You know, Mom, there's so many other kids that are out there. I want to make sure that I help them as well." So there's a little bit about my story.
And that's at 9 years old. You're already thinking that way.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, when we take a look at the world and we take a look at how we're taught in school, a lot of times we get put in a box. Mm-hmm. And we get to a certain level, you know, at the age of three, you're taking everything in, and the people are telling you what you can do and what you can't do. What she really gave me was the power of making a decision to work through the hard times. And I was just fortunate, because we could have gone in a different direction. She could have made a decision that you have epilepsy, so I'm not going to let you go out and do what the kids did. But she did just the opposite. And I can only imagine how difficult that was for her, because I played football. I did all that stuff. But it took a special parent, and took special parents to believe in me, because, you know, that's the good part. I was a goof. So I was a goof, but anyway, there's a little start. So
that's a great start. And I want to circle back to something you just said, but it just reminded me, listening to that story reminded me, it's about taking what's given to you, what's presented to you, and how you react to it, right? Because not the same story, but I remember probably fifth, sixth grade, I might have been a bit of a goof, a not listener, not really paying attention kind of kid in school. And I remember this one teacher, which will remain nameless. She's no longer with us, but I just remain nameless. But she told my Mom in front of me, "You know, Randy's never really going to amount to much. You might as well just accept that." And and I remembered my beady little 10, 11 year old mind or whatever. And I won't necessarily say on air what the words I said, but they weren't nice words at the time, because not to her, but to myself and to my mom later and to my dad later, is that's been a driving force. I'm talking about it now, 60 some years later, right?
Well, yeah. And I love what you're saying, because my math teacher, who tried to send me to, you know, the alternative class, they called it back then, mm-hmm. she just died like 2 weeks ago. Mm. And she just passed away. And I remembered her name. I remember her name. Like, probably don't remember any of the other teacher's name, but I remember mm-hmm. her name. And I ended up taking what I used to get angry about it, but I turned it into a positive. And I said, "You know, Miss Lewis, you know, we're going into this together." Mm-hmm. And I saw her at a funeral, And I had just been named vice president of sales. I was like 40 years old. The company was Sunrock. And I was like, okay, I saw her. And I pulled my card out of my pocket. It says Hugh Hornsby, vice president of sales, Sunrock Corporation. And I gave it to her. And Randy, do you know, she didn't even remember who I was.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah. Yep.
But I remembered her.
You remember her. And, you know, that's funny you say that, because I remember several of my teachers, but she probably had more effect on any success I've had than some of the others. Because the fact that the others taught me things, but she taught me one thing that I was not going to be is, or what was not going to happen is, you, ma'am, are not going to be right. That I can guarantee you, right? And that was a driving force.
And how many kids are out there that don't have a mom or dad or some type of force out there that says, don't look at it that way. You know, you need to look at it this way, and start taking it, you know, down the path. And I just feel like that, you know, it has leveraged me. I've turned around or built up over 10 business, all based on people. And it's leveraged me to go find those people and try to get them to think differently. Mm-hmm. You know, Don Green, our good friend, always talks about what they teach at the Napoleon Hill Foundation, they don't teach in schools. And I think it's one of his things that, you know, to try to reach out to some of those kids in schools and get them to think differently. But it's all the way through. I mean, I find people that they become 50 years old and they said, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, right. Or I'm stuck in this job and they just fired me. I got a call the other day and it was like, I just got fired. I'm like, Okay, that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Right.
And he's like, I'm kind of having a hard time thinking that way. And I said, until you do think that way, it's probably not going to be.
Right.
But you got to look at it from a different perspective. And so I was fortunate, you know, that I had that. I was able to change my mindset at an early age. So.
Yeah. Well, and you, I'd made a note because you brought up a few minutes ago about the box and not going to be put in a box. And I love that analogy. It's an age old analogy of think out of the box. There's different ways that it's stated, but you know, not only did you not allow yourself to be put in a box, but you stopped seeing the box yourself. And I think that's equally important, right? Is people put us in boxes sometimes that we got to beat ourselves out of. But don't we put ourselves in boxes sometimes because we think that's where we belong or because of circumstances? And those are tough boxes to get out of if you don't have a mindset and or somebody like yourself telling them you don't have to be in this box, dude. I mean, there's answers here, right?
Yeah. And you know, I study this all the time. And I just went through this time last year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so,
you told me,
you know, as you go through that and you're looking at your wife and you get the phone call and you're looking at her and say, I got stage 4 cancer and Google tells me I'm only going to live for another year. You know, your mind starts to go through different phases. And it's really not about yourself. It's like, okay, I don't want to leave them around. I don't leave them behind right now. But then you start to say, okay, what am I going to do about it? I really think that you almost have to go back and figure out what is your dream. And it really does start there. I always say it starts with core values. But these people that I talk to and I say, okay, what's your dream? And they'll look at me and they say, what are you talking about, Hugh? I'm like, what's the dream that you left behind? That's what I want. And you go find that and then come back and have another conversation with me. A lot of us left dreams behind a long time ago. But if we start with that dream and we get people to start thinking differently, that they can do something maybe they never even thought they could do. And they start working towards that and they do the little things and you put your core values together and then you take that and then you start to invest in yourself. And then you, you realize that you're not going to do it on your own. You go find the who's that can help you do it. In some case, in my cases with my teams, that's where I would come in. And then you make a decision. You want to be a part of something bigger, bigger than yourself.
Right.
And that's where the team part would come in. That's what I was able to do. But then, you know, you make a decision to do the same thing for other people. That, and I always said, if I'm going to do it for you, then you need to go back and do it for other people.
Right.
But it really starts with the dream. And so many of us end up with doubt and fear because maybe they're not believing in themselves. But once you start to believe in it, and I'm going to tell you, once you start to do that, as I went through the cancer and I went through each one of those phases pretty quickly, and I woke up one night and I said, you need to flip the script, Hugh, and you need to stop telling everybody what to do, and you need to do it yourself. And this is the most important thing that you do. And so I ended up doing gratitude, you know, gratitude every night and gratitude every morning. And I was able to start to flip things around in my mind. And instead of looking at everything that was negative, I started looking at everything that was positive. And the crazy thing about it, Randy, is I did become, it did get changed from stage 4 to stage 2, which was pretty neat. But when I went to the cancer clinic, 7:15, first appointment every morning, I was the rock star that went in there and got people to start looking at the world from a different perspective. Because the worst thing we can ever do, you know, physical cancer is a terrible thing, but mental cancer is even worse. And I kind of figured, okay, so I started doing the gratitude and I started doing the mindset stuff, but it was the gratitude part. I started looking at everything from a different perspective and just being grateful for the day. And now I send out gratitude rocks. I think you got one of those.
I'm going to look right here. I should have had it out here. It's right here someplace. I can find it. You just send me one. I'm going to stand up and be very unprofessional here. There it is. There it is. Look at that. That's a way to show my Source One marketing logo real quick.
Oh, see, I love it. Yeah.
I put that in there. Yeah. Right there. Sent to me by you. Gratitude. Yeah. I got it right here on my desk.
And it's a neat place to be. And then after that, I did 28 sessions of radiation. Told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know if I should travel. I ended up traveling the following week. We had a day and a half trip and went to, somehow got pulled up on stage and they asked me to be vulnerable and talk about, you know, myself. And then I had some comedy in and I did it. And the next thing I know, it actually went really well. And it was at an American Supply Association event. Next thing I know, they're inviting me to New York City to do comedy, which I've never done comedy on stage in my life. But it was another thing that I felt like it was bigger than me. And it was my way to talk a little bit about the cancer that I went through in a way that people could use it as something that would be positive for them. So they didn't kick me off the stage. In fact, they invited me back.
Well, that's a plus. Did anybody laugh? That's important. Apparently they did, or they wouldn't have invited you back.
Yeah, they laughed, and you know, I haven't gotten 1,000 views yet, but I'm close to it. But good. It was just good. Another step in the process, though. Mm-hmm. And it was and then I come back, and next thing I know, I get this phone call from Supply House Time. I mean, that's from the wholesaler, and they tell me that you're Person of the Year. There's only been 10 of those in the history of them doing it, and I'll have to be honest with you. I just broke down and cried. You know,
it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal.
It was something. It was really a big deal. And then my brother's been in the industry for a long time. He was the president of Worsley Worldwide that owns Ferguson Enterprises. So he's been way up there. So, but it was a great, you know, phone call with him when I had the conversation to say, hey, I've just been named Person of the Year for the industry, and sharing that with my older brother, which was kind of neat.
That is neat. You know, and one of the things that you talked about doing and mentoring, and you talked about your mom, and I want to go back to this for a minute. Leaving books on your bed to read, I think is so cool. And this is another thing, that this is the kind of stuff this guy does right here. You sent this along with the magazine.
Yeah, so that's one of those books.
Yeah. Well, I get a magazine from Hugh, I get an envelope, and then it's the magazine, which I showed early on with his person of the year signed with a nice little message, the gratitude rock and a nice little card. And then I pulled this out in the little engine that could. We've all read that as a kid. And you know, it's probably one of the most inspirational books you could probably ever read. And it's like, what, 5 words a page or whatever it is? It's 10 words a page. I mean, I got that and I laughed and I go, that's Hugh right there. I mean, I hadn't known you that long at the time, but it just, that said a lot. And so, I mean, it's sitting right here on my desk all the time. I mean, that's good stuff.
It's my favorite book. It's, you know, I talk to, we have a lot of joint friends that, you know, they're, you know, big into the, you know, learning and everything else. But, you know, that is my favorite book that there is. And, you know, I hope every parent, every grandparent can read it to their child and they can pass that on, because it really resonated with me. But that's what I think about with you, you know, Randy. Everything that you've done is just so amazing. And the energy that you bring to it, but you know, you reminded me of the little engine that could,
or the caboose that don't know any better. I'm not sure which it is.
Oh, maybe a little bit of both. But you know, whatever it is, you got over the hill somehow. So, yeah.
But you know, back to what you said about this book, though, Hugh, and thank you, by the way. That was very, very nice. I think not only should every parent and grandparent make sure their kid gets that, but everybody should have that book for themselves and commit to reading it often, because it's quick. It will take 3 minutes to read, and the message is huge. And it's something that we forget the lesson that's in there, right? And even when things are going bad, or not, your deal didn't go the way you wanted, or you ran into a brick wall someplace, you know, that's the little engine. He didn't stop, right? I think it's a great story.
It's a great story. And so I send them out very selectively, depending on who it is I'm sending them out to. But, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, you know, those people that have overcome, but you're right. I think it's a book that everybody should read. So whoever was the author of that book, you know, it's pretty inexpensive on Amazon, but it's a great little read.
It's Waddy Piper, and I think he or she owes you a royalty. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get a couple percent for
exactly. So. Oh, good stuff. So you're basically in the HVAC plumbing industrial part of the world. How do you see things from? Let's switch gears just for a few minutes. And how do you see the business climate right now? How do you see things out there in as we go into 25 and beyond?
Well, I think things are slowing down a little bit in 25. But what I just had a conversation with the president of a company, and I think what happens a lot of times is that we get used to the market going at a certain direction, and we get busy being busy. A lot of those. And then we're just doing, we think the numbers are doing great. And then all of a sudden the numbers slow down. I think when we see a slowdown, that's where we have an opportunity to look at our business from a different perspective. We have the opportunity to look at ourselves from a different perspective and start to ask ourselves in our business, what is it that we can do differently to help people? So I'm in the HVAC, plumbing, industrial sector on the wholesale side, but it's the downtimes that we were able to always take advantage of. So even this morning, I got up at 6 o'clock and I had an 8 o'clock meeting with somebody. And I just said, okay, you tell me about your business. I want to go all the way down to the ROI. Let's talk about that. And I want to know where those gaps are. Because what I think we need to do is to figure out how can we help that person. And if all we're trying to do is just sell them product, then we've got a problem. Okay. It's what value can we add? But But Randy, that's not just in business. That's with everybody we meet.
Exactly.
And I think that we just have to think about difference. But the business climate is slowing. I'm hearing that 26 might be better. But the business climate should not slow for anybody. It's only going to slow for you for people that they make a decision to do the same old, and don't, you know, put some value within themselves and figure out how they can align. You said the word align. That's the biggest thing we can do with our employees, with our friends, finding alignment and really starting with your core values and starting with your dreams, and then aligning together, taking the company's core values and building those together. That's, to me, is really big. But what's also big is doing that with your client base. So those people that are out there just need to ask themselves, am I aligned with my customers? And are they aligned with me? Do their core values meet our core values, and vice versa? And can I sit down and have a conversation with them and figure out what it is that we can do together through this downturn and really help each other build our businesses? So I don't know if that's near and dear to my heart. So.
Yeah, it is. And I think something you hit on, we've talked about this before, Hugh, and I love your take on it, because I think it's something that I will talk about anybody anytime they'll listen is building that. When you have that conversation, when you get to those core values, and you get to know each other as people, as opposed to just a number, just becoming a transaction. And I think transactions are a dangerous place to be. We all know we need the transaction at the end of the day, right? That's how we make the money, I mean, at the end of the day. But I think we get too wrapped up both ways. Customers turn it into a transaction, or we allow them as salespeople to where it just becomes a number. And when it becomes just a number on the sales end, you're always going to lose. And we also, I think, a lot of times, as a customer, we will allow a salesperson to turn it into a transaction, as in, all I want is your order. I want to sell you a truckload of widgets. I don't care whether it's the right widget. I don't care if a half a truckload makes more sense. I don't care what's right for you. I just want to sell a truck of widgets. And I think what we've talked about before, and I think makes a lot of sense, is let's align, back to your word align, what is best for the two of us together, some give and take. And if we come up with that, that becomes unbeatable. And that becomes that magic sauce where you don't lose people over, you know, nickels and dimes, right?
Well, and I've always said that if you treat people and you treat customers as a transaction, then you're going to lose them on a transaction.
Right.
And those are the people that are really having a hard time even making it a lot of times, because they're always selling it at the cheapest price. Mm-hmm. I believe that. So I believe in transformational sales, and I think that taking sales and turn your client and turning your business into being transformational is important. But the challenge that you have with that is that you find people that really do want to sell, and they've got heart based, and you hear all that. But the bottom line is they never come in up with a call to action. And so that means that you have to plan, and you need to talk about a call. We should always have a call to action. Transformational sales is something is where we're going to do. You're looking at it for the long term. You're not looking at the commission breath guy that's just trying to take an order. And maybe I might get another one next time. I've been in what they called the commodity industry for all those years. And they always said, how do you do what you do? Well, the bottom line is that the value that you bring has to do within you. And bringing that to the table and understanding that. So I am actually working on a project now where we're looking at how to take transformational sales and work with people. And it starts with their dreams to their core values and everything else. And then turn with everything that's going on with AI, mm-hmm. using AI as a tool to help those people. We hear so much about AI now, we think that we're losing the people side of it. And the bottom line is people will always buy from people. But if we can use AI in a way to give those people tools to make decisions quicker, to move faster, to help the person that's in front of them faster. I think there's something there. So I've been working with a contractor that uses AI. He's like 38 years old, and he loves my people side of it. And we're trying to integrate the two.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because it is, and I'm glad you brought that up because I know AI is a hot button topic right now, right? Everybody's talking about it. Most people have no idea what it really is or what it really can do. And probably because they don't know what it can really do, they get scared of it, and then they want to stay away from it. I ask anybody that I talk to that's involved with AI at all, to use improper English, which I do. I go ahead and take that. I'd like to watch you make a sale. I want to see the old pro in action. We'll learn.
It's funny that the person that was calling me, and I meant to turn it off, and so that was pretty unprofessional, but. It was Vincent, the guy that I was talking to. That's, you know, he's the 38-year-old guy that, and he'll love this interview. So his name's Vincent Yoder Electric over in Columbus, Ohio. We got connected shortly over the last month, and he's the one that came to me and he said, I have this idea, and he's kind of put it together. And I was like, I am not the AI guy and I am not the technology guy, but what I've learned from this, and it's so neat, is that it's about the who. Mm-hmm. It's about finding those people that can do the things that you know I don't do well, or look at it from a different perspective. And then the other thing, you know, I'm always looking at measuring backwards instead of trying to measure forwards. But you know what, being around him, and we just spent Hardy Heating, Air Conditioning, Refrigeration Distribution Institute 2.5 hours last week, just doing discovery on what we can figure it out. But anyway, it's I figured the who. You know, I'm 60 some years old, and I'm figuring out that it's really hard to do this all on your own.
Right. Oh, exactly. Yeah. The collaboration, the networking, it is so important. And because you're right, whatever we can accomplish on our own is, I don't know what percent it is, but it's going to be 20% at best of what we could do if we collaborate with good people in the industry or out of the industry, whatever the case may be. And that makes me think of one or two last things I really want to get your input on. Because I just said about collaborating within the industry, but what's your thoughts on as much collaboration as you can do, networking you can do out of the industry? Because I'm a big believer, and we all understand the value of collaborating within your industry, right? But we all tend to get, in any industry, there's a certain amount of groupthink, right? Where there's a certain way we all think about most topics. We all have the little fringes, but there's that core bound. Isn't there some real value? Because I found that I've learned some of the best things I've learned over the last several years from people that, like yourself, that are not in my building materials industry, from a roofing, building, post frame building relationship type thing. I've probably learned more from people out of the industry than I have from within the industry, because selling is selling, relationships are relationships, people are people, business is business. But there's a different way that people look at it in different industries, right? And what do you think about that, the idea of spending the time out of your industry?
It's funny. I had a Zoom meeting yesterday with a company called Contractors Nation. You know, it's for all different types of contractors, mm-hmm. Home services contractors. And I was telling them on some of the stuff I'm doing. I'm getting ready to speak on the mental side for, you know, the trades group has one of the largest suicide rates for any industry. And so we were talking about how we take that across the industry, and they're saying, hey, we need to, you know, really integrate all of that. So I'm 100% on that. In fact, I think I called you last week and I said, we really need to get together, mm-hmm. Because we're trying to put a group together that are, you know, contractors, wholesalers, but all within the industry, to figure out what we can do, not only for the trades, but to get people to start thinking differently.
Right.
So I'd like to invite you to one of those meetings and have a conversation when we can we can slow you down a little bit, because I think that's one of the most important things that we can do.
And I would love to. Count me in. Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And then I really wanted to take the wholesale and the contractor side. And I think what you're going to see going on just from spending time with some of these contractors is you're going to see contractors that are moving beyond the silos, and they're going to take those silos, and it's going to become more home services where they're doing five or six different things. And I think we're going to see more of that. But I think really the mental health side of it, it's not just for contractors. It's about how you get people to start thinking all the way through, and putting a group of people together to figure that, you know, figure out how we can help that and help build that out. Really, the reason I was named Person of the Year, I'm usually the person behind the scenes, because my job is to make everybody else look better. Right. But more than anything else, my job is to get people to start thinking about where it is they want to go and who they want to be and what steps they need to take to get there, and put them in a position just to live their dream. And I'm passionate about that. And I think if we can do that for the industry, or just, you know, the trades industry, all those trades bringing together, I think we're onto something that I think is a lot bigger than us, but when we do it together, you know, we can have a lot of success with it.
Exactly. Love it. I think you're right. And I would be honored and thrilled to be involved. So thank you for that.
You just got the invite.
Okay, good. I just wrote it down. I mean, once I wrote it down, it's a deal. Cause I follow a certain rule. If I don't write it down, it probably ain't happening. Right. So, it's wrote down.
Yeah, so, I'd love to do that. And hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh man, it's my pleasure. You know, like I said earlier, I don't want to like overblow this, but the value of your friendship is going to go a long, long time, and we're going to do some fun stuff together, my man. You know that
we are, and yep. I think that it's just bigger than us, and I just feel it, and I know when I talk to people, there's a feeling that you get, and when I talk to you, I'm like, you know, I need, you know, we need to, you know, do some stuff together and just really help each other. But really, more than anything else, it's about helping other people.
There you go.
And then building your industry, my industry, and all these industries out. I think it's just a neat thing. And I am honored to be your friend.
Well, very, very, very kind of you, sir. And I'm double honored because it's my show, so I get to be double honored.
There you go.
I'm pulling rank, buddy. No, but no, it is great. So Hugh, as we kind of wind down, you've been very good with your time, and I know you're in Jacksonville, Florida. Thanks for making the 5-hour trip down to see me, but that's okay. We'll let that go this time. SAQs. Everybody asks FAQs all the time, but what's a should ask question? So as we kind of finalize this, what is, whether it's us today or when you're out and about doing your everyday stuff, whatever that is, that you just wish people would ask Hugh Hornsby, but never do?
You know, what's your dream? And it's the same questions I want to ask them. Yep. And you ask that question a lot of times and most people don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, most people don't know. And to answer that question for me is that, you know, I'm living my lifelong passion of helping other people. And I feel like that, if I can help people start to think differently from where they are and then start looking where they are, there's so many people that are stuck. If I can help them start to dream and look at things from a different perspective and then help them, once they identify it and help them get there, we can build companies, we can build people, we can build worlds.
Well said. Love it. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it as always. End of the year. Gotta love it. I love that.
Love you, Randy. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you. Talk soon. Cheers, buddy.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Come on. You gotta love Hugh. I love Hugh. I'm gonna do it one more time just because not everybody gets on the cover of a magazine. That's pretty big stuff. He was a great guy. I hope you picked up on that. Follow Hugh if you don't already on LinkedIn. You're going to learn a lot. I've learned so much just in our short little bit of friendship, and we're going to do a lot of fun stuff together. So keep an eye out for Hugh. So As we wind down another day with my buddy Wes, my producer, director, and I'm just going to say food stealer because he is. Wes Wyatt, we always appreciate you being on here with us. And remember, love what you do and do what you love. That's what we're doing right now. We get one go around, so live it, love it, own it. And while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, all.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live. You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.